Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers get a big week one victory over the Seattle Seahawks, 17-9 Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. A lot of different things to discuss here, but this discussion starts with defense and it starts with Mike Daniels.
Unbelievable game from Mike Daniels. And again, you look at he's the type of player now, even though he isn't a Pro Bowler, the Packers, they know what they're getting in him now, 6 years into his NFL career. So you can't really call it a surprise or quantify it as his best career game. There's been a lot to count.
Yep.
But when this offense, when this defense needed him the most, Mike Daniels put together maybe, you know, arguably his biggest performance of his career. 7 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hits. The Packers had 8 on Russell Wilson. He was responsible for 4 of them. And from the beginning of the game, you know, when you look at Luke Jokel, you know, Britt, the interior offensive lineman for the Seahawks, Mike Daniels was making life incredibly difficult on them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I thought Daniels really owned the Seattle defensive line last year in December and kind of picked up right where he left off. And, 1.5 sacks, the strip sack, obviously, back by the goal line being the game-changing play. But another play that maybe doesn't get noticed quite as much, one of the few times the Packers secondary had a bit of a breakdown, Tyler Lockett gets behind the defense. Russell Wilson's throw is badly off target. It's badly overthrown. Why? Because Mike Daniels was right in the quarterback's face and did not allow him to really step in and make the accurate throw that was needed there. That was just as big a play almost as the strip sack that set up the Packers' first points.
His pressures were just incredible, just so much forward pressure. And this fact of the matter is, Mike, it was all 3 downs. In the early downs, he was getting, shedding his blockers, able to get in the backfield, stopping runners, forcing 2nd and long and 3rd and long situations. But the Packers also kept him in on the obvious passing situations, the nitro nickel packages, the dime packages. I made so much during the offseason program, and a lot of this is just projecting. I thought it was going to be a lot of Dean Lowry and working bigger guys in that dime package. Mike Daniels was right there rushing off the edge in that as well.
Yeah, they moved him to the outside on some of those snaps, yeah.
So I think he ended up playing, it was 37 or 38 snaps out of the 49 the defense had. Just controlling the tempo, start to finish. Mike Daniels, man, he's been wanting to make a statement for a number of years, not just to this locker room, but to the NFL. He put the league on notice on Sunday.
Yeah, and you mentioned how he was the key to the run defense. When you look at it statistically, the running backs for the Seahawks combined for just 50 yards on the ground, and 30 of those 50 came on one play, a run of Chris Carson, I believe it was, that leaked out there. So the run defense was on point. I mentioned in our Insider Inbox column on Packers.com, you talk about putting the league on notice. If you don't have a Pro Bowl caliber player, an All-Pro caliber player to block Mike Daniels, he is going to demand a double team on a weekly basis. I think he showed that in this game, because for as much as his game was on the rise last year, it doesn't seem like it's peaked.
Yeah, and there's two points I want to make with this, Mike. The first one being this whole week leading up to the game, we were kind of like trying to figure out what exactly the defense is going to look like, who's going to be the big playmaker. And then we do our final thoughts video on Packers.com. And I said, as much as you want to talk about the turnovers and everything else, it really is about those early downs, stopping the run, forcing Russell Wilson into those long situations. And the Packers did such an amazing job, and Daniels had a lot to do with this in terms of collapsing the pocket, not giving him a lot of room to work with, and being able to put him in uncomfortable situations. He finishes the game with just, I believe, below 70 passer rating. The other thing, too, I want to talk about, All-Pro, Pro Bowl, those kind of designations. Remember, there was a few years ago, right after his first season where he really broke out, I was talking to another beat writer, and I was like, do you think he can be as good as Geno Atkins? More of a sawed-off type interior rusher. He's like, no, he's not Geno Atkins. I'd put him up there with everybody now. I don't want to get too far off the page with you look at Aaron Donald, but I think Mike Daniels is right there.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's when you talk about the recognition coming down the road, and some of these things can be out of a player's control in a lot of ways, but when it's week one, when you're the national game on Fox on late afternoon, the whole country's watching the game against a playoff, perennial playoff contender like the Seahawks, and you put on a performance like that to start the season, these are the kinds of things that then can lead to the recognition down the road. Even if maybe he deserved more in the past, maybe it's going to come now.
Yeah, and you think to 2013, I think it was, Mike, where the Packers made the decision to move away from just the strict two-gapping scheme with their defensive linemen, allow them to jet rush a little bit more, allow them to get after the quarterback. You've seen the moves with Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry, the guys they've brought in. But it really does build around Mike Daniels. And when you see the kind of impact he has in a game, I have to imagine the Atlanta Falcons and everybody else going forward now, as the Packers come up on their schedules, you have to find a way to contain Mike Daniels, because otherwise he's going to ruin things in the middle.
Yeah, he's going to have that target on his back, no doubt about it. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, continuing our discussion of the Packers defense, I think you have to give credit to outside linebacker Nick Perry for setting the tone from the start of this game. Now, Mike Daniels was the most dominant player on defense, as we talked about in the opening segment. But if you look at the opening drive of the game, Nick Perry gets his arms around Russell Wilson on the very first play, nearly gets a sack. Wilson just barely gets the pass away before his knee hits the ground. And then two plays later, Perry does get the sack to force the three and out and the punt right off the bat, taking advantage of a rookie left tackle for the Seahawks. They had lost their starting left tackle to a knee injury during training camp. But Perry took advantage of that and I thought really made a statement right from the opening drive that this Packers defense was going to be tough to handle on this day.
I like the way you said that, Mike, in terms of setting the tone. They did that right off the bat, like you said, that first play. Him and Daniels also did that at the start of the third quarter. Packers were down 3-0 at that point. The defense had been playing great, but they still were trying to get the offense moving the ball. You go out, Seattle gets the first possession. Him and Daniels combined on a 10-yard sack. Two plays later, that's when Daniels had the strip sack. Those are the type of things that when you can get a negative yardage play on the first down, that's where it puts an offense on its heels. That's where it puts Russell Wilson in a position where he's going to have to take a few more chances. Nick Perry was a big signing for the Packers this offseason. It goes without saying he had 11 sacks last year, but he also is 27 years old with 5 years of experience in Dom Capers' scheme. It's not easy to just jump right into a 3-4 defense and become an all-pro pass rusher. Clay Matthews did it, but not a lot of guys can do that.
Yeah.
The Packers invested in Perry over the last 4 or 5 seasons. They started to reap the benefits of that last year, and I think him coming out and really making a big impact like he did against the Seahawks shows you again how this is a guy not only in the prime of his career, but a guy that's poised to become a big playmaker in this defense for years to come.
Yeah, we talked about it throughout the offseason. The Packers rewarded Perry for that double-digit sack season with a big contract. Not because they thought, okay, Nick Perry has reached his peak. It's because they think he's still got more to give. And to come out in your first game with that new contract under your belt, get 1.5 sacks, set the tone very early like that, I thought that was a great performance, a great sign there for Nick Perry. We talked about the turnover back by the goal line, which was the game-changing play, and Dom Capers will be extremely proud of that. Turnovers are things that change games. But I think if he were to pick another moment in this game that Capers is probably the most proud of with his defense, it's after the Aaron Rodgers interception. Any defense can feed off the crowd early in the game, you know, and whatnot, get off to a good start. But Aaron Rodgers throws that interception. There's the scrum, and Jeremy Lane gets intercepted. The block in the back wipes out the touchdown return. But the Seahawks have great field position right there and a chance to take control of the game. And not only do they not get any points, they don't even get a first down. It's another 3-and-out. Boom, they have to punt. And the interception is kind of wiped from the books there. You got to give the defense credit on that possession. I thought that was huge.
Yeah, the Packers, the one thing they did an exceptional job of on both sides of the ball in the first half was keeping field position manageable, not finding themselves in a situation of punting out of their own end zone that often. Credit to the offense moving it out, and a credit to the defense for stepping up on that particular play. The thing that impressed me most about that series, though, there wasn't a negative yardage play there. It wasn't like they had a negative 2-yard sack or tackle for a loss. They actually were able to move the ball a little bit, get a 3rd-and-2. Packers defense really clutches up in that situation. End up, I think, Seattle finished, I think it was 3 for 12 on third down
situations. Yes, 3 for 12.
Packers did a phenomenal job there. And a lot of the times it was because of third and longs. That particular one was a third and short situation. Mike Daniels, after the game, didn't really want to talk too much about his own performance. He kind of pointed to it just being a high-effort type deal. The one thing he did say, though, is the way that the Packers' pass defense played in this game, a lot of the opportunities that they got with pressures and sacks were generated off the coverage. 135 passing yards, total offense for Seattle. They really were able to do a good job defensively on both sides of the coin there, being able to, you know, give the pass rush opportunities as well with what they did with their coverages.
Yeah, and in talking about the field position situation, the Packers offensively were backed up a number of times in the first half. The field position was not going their way. John Ryan with some really nice punts for Seattle to pin Green Bay deep. All but one time, the Packers were at least able to move out and you know, before having to punt the ball back. But then the one time Green Bay did have to punt out of its own end zone, the undrafted rookie Justin Vogel booms a 57-yarder, and then a penalty on Seattle on the return, adds another 10 yards to the Packers' net there. I thought that was a big play, because when you're standing halfway back in your own end zone, the other team is thinking, oh, we're going to have the ball at the 50, maybe even on the plus side of the field here, and they didn't even come close, because that was a big-time punt and then the penalty on top of it.
Yeah, the two biggest storylines outside of just player performances were the fact that the field position battle, the Packers didn't allow Tyler Lockett to get anywhere either on special teams for the most part, and also the time of possession. It was like 39-12. 12 to 20 minutes, nearly doubling them up, and it's because they executed in those situations.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about time of possession when we come back after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, you brought up time of possession at the end of our last segment. The way the first half of this game went, you wouldn't have thought that the game would have ended with the time of possession discrepancy that it did. But after the turnover and the Packers get the quick touchdown on the Ty Montgomery run to go ahead 7-3, after that, Green Bay's offense started to put together some more methodical drives. You get a long drive for a touchdown, you get a long drive for a field goal, and then a long drive to kill the last 6 minutes on the clock and not give the ball back to Seattle with just the one score deficit, the 8-point differential there. It ends up being a 19-minute advantage in time of possession, 39-plus minutes to 20-plus minutes. And credit the Packers' offense for finding a way to get something going against a really good Seattle defense that was having its way with Green Bay, you know, for the most part in the first half. But in the second half, the Packers kind of started to figure things out and did what they wanted to do.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. And I, one thing I tried to write for our story on Packers.com, I don't know whether or not I succeeded in it, is just the amount of weapons the Packers have and how Aaron Rodgers did an exemplary job of executing with them. Ty Montgomery had a career-high 19 carries. His 54 rushing yards aren't going to be something that jump off to you as a career day, but just how he was able to get those gritty yards and how the Packers were able to keep converting on third downs. We talked about the 3-for-12 that Seattle had. Packers were 9-for-16.
Yep.
Were really effective in that situation and also executed on a lot of long third and long situations, third and 10s, third and 12s. Rodgers was terrific in this game. Aside from the interception, which I know he wants to have back early in the contest,
yeah,
he did such a phenomenal job of really controlling and dictating the tempo of the game. He's working with a second-year right tackle with Brian Bulaga being out of this game, Kyle Murphy making his first NFL start. I just thought being able to utilize Martellus Bennett and Montgomery, the trio of receivers, Lance Kendricks, it just shows you with the amount of weapons the Packers have offensively how difficult it is to really cue in on one guy and make a stop.
Yeah, the Packers end up putting up, I think it's 370 yards or so
right
by the end of the game, but none of the individual skill position players has a 100-yard day. Ty Montgomery ends up with 94 combined yards rushing and receiving. Randall Cobb has 85 yards receiving. Jordy Nelson has 79. So the ball definitely getting spread around there, and no individual, you know, superstar standing out in terms of a career day by any means. And then Aaron Rodgers does his Aaron Rodgers thing to get the big touchdown there late in the third quarter, catches the Seahawks in a substitution. The guy trying to get off the field gets one step from the sideline, but they get the snap off. It's a free play. Jordy Nelson 32 yards over the middle and big touchdown.
Yeah, and people talk about fast starts and the Packers wanted to get off to a fast start in that narrative. And I think a lot of people equate that to wins, which obviously are important. But for me, offensively, I think that's tempo. I think that's play style. I think that's rhythm. And that was the impressive part of this game. The Packers actually had several free play opportunities, and they executed on basically all of them, being able to make the most out of those. The Jordy Nelson play was just spectacular, with Rodgers being able to, I believe it was it Bennett that jumped offsides? I'm trying to remember who it was. It was the 12 men on the field, my bad.
Right.
The guy was like one step away from the sideline. Nelson comes free, gets over the safety. Not easy to do against that secondary. And as a picture-perfect touchdown, Jordy Nelson was on point in this game. He had a lot of tough catches, ran some terrific routes, and also credit, too, to Randall Cobb, ended up leading him with 9 catches for 85 yards in a lot of those small-type plays that kept the chains moving at a lot of crucial times in this game.
Yeah, and Rodgers was kind of laughing a little bit after the game in his post-game press conference, asked about the free play and how, he initially looked to his right and maybe that looked the defense off so that Nelson then was open between the linebacker and the safety over the middle. And Rodgers was like, well, I actually just looked over there to make sure the side judge threw the flag so that I knew I had the free play and wasn't going to take a shot it just in case they didn't call it or, that kind of thing. So, if his eyes moving to the right to look at the side judge, if that influenced the defense at all, then all the better.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mike, but I think Nelson also was operating out of the slot in that play, at least working across the middle of the field, again illustrating to you with Ty Montgomery and his ability to motion out with Martellus Bennett, a lot of different ways that they can use these weapons that it's not really going to be easy to predict on a down-in and down-out basis where guys are going to be.
Yeah, and there was another play in the fourth quarter, a key third down where Nelson was in the slot, and it was just a quick little throw over the middle on 3rd and 5, move the chains, keep the ball, and again, that time of possession stayed in Green Bay's favor. But with that, let's take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, as usual, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's touch briefly on the big, I guess I would say, when you talk stature, new weapon in this Packers offense, and that's Martellus Bennett, the new tight end. Had a relatively quiet day, but definitely made his presence felt at the end of the ball game. First, he sticks up for his quarterback after Rodgers scrambles for a first down. Didn't take too kindly to the hit from linebacker KJ right there, although Rodgers did dive head first, so it wasn't a slide situation. But nonetheless, Bennett took exception, ended up getting a penalty for it. Rodgers thanked him for sticking up for him in that situation. And then just a couple of plays later, the game-sealing first down is Bennett leaking out into the flat, catches the pass, gets a nice run up the field, stays in bounds, takes it down to the 2-minute warning, and with Seattle out of timeouts, the Packers kneel out of victory.
Great play call by Mike McCarthy, first and foremost. We talked earlier about the Packers being able to establish the run, even if they didn't have a 20 or 30-yard gain on the ground, being able to make Seattle respect it. They motion out there, Aaron Ripkowski and Ty Montgomery in a double backfield out of an I formation. Looks like the play is going to be going left on 2nd and 6.
Yep.
And Rodgers curls free. How many times have we seen it, Mike, the play action rollout? And there, Martellus Bennett open in the flat. He only needed 6 yards for the first down. The game was over. He did say he wanted to score, which led to a 26-yard reception instead. But at the end of the day, mixed with that catch he had earlier in the game, I think on 3rd and 11, a 12-yard catch down the middle, Rodgers threw probably the best ball he did all day through traffic to get it to him. That Martellus Bennett Aaron Rodgers connections there. Rodgers called them fast friends. Bennett said, the conversations they've had, really high level, you know, bringing in different concepts. He's seen a lot of things in the NFL. Rodgers has seen a lot of things. And that together has really led to them being effective here early on in their careers together.
Yeah, and Martellus going to get a lot of attention, obviously, for raising his fist during the national anthem in support and solidarity with his brother and what his brother on the other sideline went through with the police in Las Vegas. But with regards to this Rodgers and Bennett connection, again, it was kind of a quiet day for starters, but I think this is something that's just getting started. And you know that if the matchup is there for number 80, that Aaron Rodgers is going to look to him. I think we're going to see more of number 80 going forward.
Yeah, we are, Mike. And I haven't had a chance to get the final tallies together as far as what the offensive personnel look like, but we did see that two tight end set a lot. You know, Lance Kendricks played quite a bit in this game. We saw Richard Rodgers out there as well. I think there was one play early on where they actually ran three tight ends in the middle of the field. So, I mean, this is a situation that is evolving. It's a situation that I think the Packers are really trying to find ways to have that mix and match sort of opportunity in how they use their personnel. Bennett is such a game changer, though, at 6'6". I mean, the catch radius, the athleticism, the speed, and also his blocking ability as an inline tight end, all things that I think really separate him and bring a new dimension to this offense.
Yeah, the tight ends do so many little things in this offense that go unnoticed. Not to say that the Packers were helping Kyle Murphy all game long at right tackle there in his first start, but there were times the tight end is there to provide a chip block, to be that extra guy. Sometimes the tight end lines up in the backfield and motions out to give Aaron Rodgers a look at, you know, whether the defense is in zone or in man and how they're going to go about things. And, you know, Lance Kendricks very quietly, has a couple of catches in this game. And when he's got the matchup, even if it's only going to be a 7 or 8 yard gain, Aaron Rodgers is going to go to him.
Absolutely. Him and Bennett catching up with his play style, games like this are only going to help.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.